going. I'm doing no such thing.
What you carry? Carrying. You carry every episode.
Like episode Atlas.
I did the minisode. I did the minisode with the Cheap Heat guys without you, and I saw Larry right after the episode went out, and he goes, "I could hear in your voice that you were sad." I was sad. I was like, "Dan carries this whole shit." All right, y'all ready? All right.
Show me what you got. Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the Heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes I say it's none of that, but you know what? It's always all of that. My name is Eagle, and I am joined, as always, per usual, by my favorite, your favorite, everybody's favorite, Rubber City Redbeard.
It's usually at least some of that.
Yeah.
I don't think that you've ever left out it. Like, completely.
No,
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, but I'm always like, oh, sometimes, yeah, you're right. And we are joined by some, my new friends, some friends that you've already had. How about that? I've been friends with you. We're joined by...
Ange.
Brandon Bailey.
Patrick DeLagrange.
Ooh. Also known as...
For the first name. He says it all sweet.
DeLagrange.
Yeah, because if you look at it, like, you would say DeLagrange.
DeLagrange? I would say DeLagrange.
Yeah, just like as a rain...
Well, that's actually how it's pronounced. DeLagrange.
DeLagrange.
Yeah. See? That sounds cooler.
It's super cool.
Then I would pronounce it.
Yeah, but, well, most Americans just say DeLagrange, Delaware.
Fucking Americans.
American.
Goddamn name wrong. Right.
You guys are in a band called In Malum.
Yeah.
In fucking Malum.
Heaviest balls in Malum.
We try, brother. We try.
Now, how long... You guys are kind of a fresh band. Like, you... When did you guys start playing out? Was it this year?
Yeah, we debuted March 23rd.
That was our debut. That's the podcast.
Not the same day. Is it the same day?
March 23rd was the first ever episode of Keeping It 99.
That's
God.
Brothers, dude.
Holy
that's
shit.
That's weird because I thought about all of us rubbing noses when he said
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Shit. Nice. So you guys have been playing out. I remember when you guys had, I think maybe it was your first show. There was a lot of, dare I use the word, buzz.
Buzz
going around.
Drama
where Tommy Heretic?
Yeah.
He was like, "These motherfuckers kill," and I trust that dude on everything.
Yeah, you trust Tommy.
I cannot think of a better fan in the world than Tommy Heretic.
Amazing.
Because if you get his word, then yeah, it's fucking dope. You guys have been playing around since March. How many shows do you guys think you guys have done now at this point?
This will be
9 and 10, right?
No, this will be 11 and 12.
11 and 12.
Because we got a Thursday.
Oh, 9 and 10.
Yeah, you guys got
me.
Shows.
Yep.
You guys got shows coming up. What are you, this Thursday? Well, what's the date on this Thursday?
October 10th.
Ooh, that's a good date. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, what show is that?
That's Slaughter to Prevail, Prison, Orthodox.
Yeah.
Fucking.
There's a couple others.
Ivy League.
In Malum.
Yeah, Ivy League in Malum.
Yeah.
In Malum. Where's
that at on a Thursday?
That's at the Outpost in Kent.
Oh,
your favorite place.
Yeah.
Oh.
The your post. Favorite place, Grant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell Big Joe, I said, hey.
Yeah. Will do.
He's the only one I care about.
Right. Well, he's the only one that,
well, Palm's still there, too.
Well, yeah, Palm.
Yeah. So, you know, I love Palm, too.
I love Palm.
Yeah.
I've known him since fucking
Big Joe.
Days.
Yeah, Club Chameleon.
Well, I think Seth is he the event manager there now?
He's the manager there now.
He's the manager now.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I like Seth. I like Seth as a person.
He's likable.
Yeah, he's a likable guy.
He's a likable guy. Yeah. You want to hug him?
I do. I hug him frequently, actually. I make it a habit never to not hug him. Because I feel like I'm embracing a warm little fuzzy baby.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, that's at the Outpost. And then
we got our CD release.
And then our CD release.
That is our last all ages show, though.
Yeah, that is our last all ages show. So if you have kids that like death metal, if you have kids that... want to see their first show and you don't want to take them to see Bieber, Come take them and see in Malum and
support local music.
And support local music because we're not going to be around here forever because, you know, we're going to be famous and all that kind of stuff.
That's how it goes.
And we're family friendly.
Yeah, and we're family friendly. We have no curse words in any of our songs. So no parental advisory sticker. It's just good old wholesome family death metal with the Necronomicon on the front.
Yeah.
And Bundle of Sticks logo.
How do you do that?
Ask Derek. I'm no lyricist. I do the vocals, you know.
Our guitarist Derek has written the majority of the lyrics, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
I'll tweak him.
His
I had my own little flair.
His mind is a very.
Is there seriously no cuss words in any
not,
of this?
No cuss words.
Did you throw one in every now and then?
In the live
well,
show.
Well, in the live show, yeah.
A little bit,
yeah. Well, but
how
not
do you
in
not
the song.
Have to?
Do not
you look
the,
right at him and just throw it a fuck. Like well, yeah. Lock eyes.
What
like,
the fuck you guys doing? Yeah. Here comes the breakdown.
The new song we've been working on. I've been. They'll go through the intro, and I'll just yell "fuck" right when they pause.
Because we did.
It's amazing.
We did get called out for not having cuss words by our. Okay, so we have three guitarists. We have Anthony, Sean. We have Anthony, Sean, and Derek. We have three guitarists. Two are six strings. One's an eight string. Sean is the genty percussion guy, and he's the dude that wants the cuss words in the songs. And then there's Derek, who's the mastermind behind this whole thing, the one that I've known for almost as long as I've known Grant in passing. And they fight over what is more powerful, and Sean thinks a good old holy fucking shit, you know, like that kind of stuff. I'll fucking kill you, you know, like he likes that type of shit. Whereas Derek wants to talk about how he's gonna enslave your entire planet by cutting off your water supply, you know, just breeding into your whole society. Like he likes the really dark, messed up place.
He's like a Joe Rogan guest in real life.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, he's very quiet, and he does this thing where he just kind of like stares you up and down, and then he like does this little foot thing where he just bops up. And then bops down, and that's how you know he's judging you. And then he just writes some really sick, brutal lyrics.
He loves doing this shit.
He does
he's one
do
of
this.
The most intelligent people I've ever met.
He seriously
met,
is.
He's
like, wasn't he going to Ohio State for like botany or something?
Who?
He was going to like Kent State or something
Scout.
Like for botany,
oh,
wasn't he?
Legit.
Yeah.
He went to NIT. He was going to NIT for
that's it. But yeah, they pretty much do all that. So the new song we're writing right now does have cuss words.
Actually, I removed the one to put in there.
Oh, really?
I did. Right. I actually removed
so
the one that was
predetermined.
We're still family friendly. So, yes, back to our original point. Bring your children to come see our awesome death metal band.
I know
band.
Families that say fuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all families say fuck at some point in time.
It's whether they admit it.
Yeah, that's correct. I have never
to themselves
cussed.
Or society.
I have never cussed a day in my life. Okay, Becky, bring it down
a little
bit.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's people that hold it together while the kids are awake, and then they freak out when the kids are asleep.
Holy fuck. Maybe there's that moment where they all go to bed, and, like, the dad quietly just picks up a pillow, walks down to the basement, doesn't say a word to anyone, closes the door, takes his tie down a little bit, puts the pillow right in front of his face, and just unleashes. Just, you know,
there has to be a thing somewhere, I'm sure.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Is that fatherhood?
Yeah, that's exactly how fatherhood is. That's my everyday existence.
Nice.
Aww.
Solid.
You're like, here's my pillow.
And then this Saturday, you guys are also playing the Outpost for the MHIO. Am I saying that right?
Yes,
like, it's not like Mahio.
MahioRadio.com. Yeah.
Which is also ran by
Seth
and
Johnny
Fitz.
Johnny Fitz.
And you guys are playing with an internet sensation band, Eye of the Destroyer. Like, these guys got famous. Kind of recently, I found out from them because a lot of people have put up videos of twerkers
and strippers.
You
ever see twerking?
No. Speaking of like Tommy Heretic, he shares all the fucking. Like,
That's the band. Yeah. That band that where it's just like you hear the death metal and then there's like some hot tattooed girl just like this is my butt.
Yeah, see, I thought they were just
random. That's Eye of the Destroyer. They're headlining this show, and there's going to be onstage butts. Live.
I'm excited live. For the onstage butts. I'm interested to see what it's going to be like.
Who doesn't love an onstage
butt? Onstage butts are usually
And my wife is excited for the onstage butts. I told her that there's going to be onstage twerkers, and she went, what? Like anyone would when right? you talk about a death metal show.
Yeah.
Just that moment of disbelief. Like, wait, are you trying to say something else? But yeah, we're excited to see some blast beats and booty jiggles, man.
Yeah, our Keeping It 99 death metal correspondent Tim Shaver hit me up recently, and he told me, he said, do not sleep on Eye of the Destroyer. And when it comes to death metal,
you listen to Timmy.
I listen to the Keeping It 99 death metal correspondent. That's the guy that
we don't pay him for nothing.
So I listened to the new album. Tim, if you're listening, you were right, buddy. You were right. You guys are also playing with the Apocalyptic Fist of the Black Death. I'm seeing if I can remember them all. Yeah, I might be able to.
That's the long one, too.
Yes. Cyclosarin. Mm-hmm. I pronounced that one right.
Yeah,
right?
You did.
Cyclo-fucking-sarin. Hold on. I can do this. Debut show, Animortem?
Yes.
I'm doing this without looking.
Did you, like, work on your pronunciations this week since we
I did. Up last I did. Week? I was just, like, looking up, like, I even, like, looked up the definition of malum, and I was like, what's the opposite of in malum? Is it out malum? If there's a band called out malum, would you guys kick the living fuck out of that band?
No, we'd have to do a double disc.
In and out?
In out malum.
In and out malum.
Malum in and out.
But there is a malum.
There is a malum.
Or malum. Yeah, there is a malum, and unfortunately, they're way more well-known than we are.
Yeah. They're like a big black metal
yeah,
band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so we literally just have the IN in front. But I figured it out. Malum and Out. That would be the double disc.
Malum and Out.
Yeah, kind of like Nick Cannon's Wild and Out.
I get it.
Yeah, Malum and Out.
Yeah, slick.
Yep.
Who else is playing this show? Grant, who's playing this show?
Don't ask.
Why did my brain?
The Behest of
Serpents. Oh, our friends. The Behest of Serpents. Three members of a band we know as The Party. Whatever happened to The Party? You guys remember The Party?
I do remember The Party.
They were partying.
They were partying pretty hard. But then Doug and Dave and another guy from The Party.
At some point, you have to take a nap.
Off the
Behest
of Serpents.
Fucking the singer guy.
So sick.
The singer, Spud.
Spud.
Spud. Yeah, fucking Spud.
Spud's awesome.
Spud sings for The Behest of Serpents.
Whoa.
That band is incredible. Yeah, like, right from the rip. Like, yeah. Doug's...
Those are our buddies, man. Like, yeah. we became... I think we can call ourselves band besties.
Oh!
The first show we played.
Yeah, just, like, broing out. Like, Paul
is... Can we just become
best friends? BBFF. Paul is the most impressive... one of the most impressive local drummers I've seen.
Oh, Paul Clark, yes,
and,
sir.
Yes. He is the nicest human being on the planet. Like, that man should be wearing nun robes.
Even when I know he's pissed, like, because there's times, like you know he's fucking mad, he's still very courteous and...
I just want to let you know, I'm fucking angry with you, but I understand where the turmoil started, and we're going to fix it, okay, bud? That's Paul.
Yeah.
And he, that dude's impressive, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not easily impressed.
Yeah, I seen some playthrough videos. What was that one band with the girl singer that he did the Paramore thing? Yeah.
See, that's just a fun cover for him, though.
I know. I was like,
everybody was giving him shit all over Facebook, too, and I'm over here like, I like Paramore. What's fucking wrong with Paramore? Yeah, I like Paramore. I like that song. I liked seeing how he nailed all the exact fills. That's what I like about him. He did every fill exactly the same. Now, sure, is that song easy? Yeah, it's an easy song. But some people want to see that. So those drum covers, a lot of times, that's something that people go to for, like, reference when they're learning. So, like, someone who just started playing drums, that might be a hard song. You know what I mean? Right. But then you see him do a Dream Theater cover, and he did it perfectly, too. So that's.
Yeah, he's a drummer.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I love that dude.
Yeah, copying Mike Portnoy is not
an easy
task. No, not at all.
Not easy.
So Saturday, you guys are going to be doing your EP release of Descent into Madness. That is spelled right, right?
It is spelled right. It is spelled right. It is one of the things that is spelled right on our album.
So, I was going to say that
this is the limited edition misspelled.
Yeah, this is the limited edition collector's pre-order. Yeah.
We're calling it because we got 300 of these. We're calling it the This Is Sparta run. You know,
This is the one that's going to be $500 in a year on Amazon.
Correct. So get it now with misprints and wrong numbers and all.
With all the hits like flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
So we can call him out now. This was Sean's doing.
Yeah, this is Sean just hastily putting some stuff together, and we're all super pumped. And we had a deadline, and he sends it to all of us. We all go, that's great, fuck yeah! And then we get it, and we're like, yeah, fuck yeah!
Next day in the band chat, we're like, guys, there's a picture of it. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, we just dropped some serious cash on Flashback. Okay, like we dropped way more money than a lot of people think this would cost for Flashbacks of Violence.
We love you, Sean.
We do love you, Sean.
So much.
He is a very important and valued member of Invalum.
Oh, yeah.
We just like giving him a little ribbing here and there. But yeah, everything looks great. I mean, even Flashbacks looks cool, dude.
It does.
And it
sounds even better than it looks.
And so. 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 6.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 3, 3, 4, 6.
Now your CD player or your disc reader or whatever you're listening to it on.
It's all right on the desk.
Yeah.
It would be cool if it actually like tripped people out.
Yeah.
Like, no dude, did you hear there's 2 track 3s, man? Like some of that Tool shit back in the day. If you rearrange laterals, it's a completely different album, man. Like, no, it's not. You're just on shuffle. Like, but okay. Yeah, okay. Good for you. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So have you guys played a bad show yet? Have you had an experience yet where...
Honestly...
Either within Malum or...
I would say this one was before you were in the band.
Okay, yeah.
This one was...
Preach, my friend.
It was the June 3rd show at the Outpost. And Oceano was headlining that one.
And we were
on the side stage.
They're really good.
Oh, yeah. And actually, we played with Prison that night as well. And now we're playing with them Thursday again. And so with the show started, and this was my first show without Chris, who was the... We had two vocalists when we started.
I was going to ask about that. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. There's a nice little juicy nuggets in there, but we'll get there.
So this is my first show. I just got a sinus infection that morning when I got off work.
He was wrecked.
And then I didn't sleep all day because I worked night shift. So by the time we got there, I was tired as fuck. And, you know, I was sick. I just felt like shit. We go on. My fucking mic doesn't work. The cord's fucked up. And they didn't have any other ones. So I had to take Jack's mic.
Yeah,
you were at this show.
Yeah, I was right in front.
Oh, yeah. I had to take Jack's mic, which... had a 10-foot fucking cord.
Yep.
So I was all the way.
All the way stage right.
I was all the way
like
over.
Like standing in front of Anthony.
Like peeking out behind monitors, just saying like, what the fuck is this shit?
Like full extension. Like he's angling it so he can get just a little bit of a lean to headbang a little bit.
It was
good.
Put this in perspective. You know, this is my first band I've ever been in.
Okay.
So this is my fourth time I've ever been on stage. So
he's
I'm like
his pants.
This is fucking bullshit. Needless to say, I have a wireless mic now, so
right, that's when that was born.
Fuck that ever happening again.
That's how you learn.
Yeah.
You learn. I didn't even ask
good to get in early.
I didn't even ask what their favorite show. I'm like, have you guys played a bad one yet? Because all I've heard is positive things like from everybody.
It's just, you know.
Well,
that was a technical issue on stage.
Does the fact that there's such a buzz, does it give you guys a bit of an ego? Do you guys feel like when you're going to play, you're like, we're going to fuck shit up?
We the best music.
Guys, we're going to fuck shit up. If you're not cussing, we're gonna mess poop up.
Well, no. We cuss. We just don't. We're going to poop this place up.
We want to work a little harder for a reaction than a fuck, basically. Yeah. Yeah. We want to build a concept and an idea. And
so, as far as, like, the buzz,
I still have trouble grasping that I'm in a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so,
because this is my first band. Like, awesome, right? I'm the singer of this band. This
is cool. And you know what's awesome is I love seeing the starry-eyed looks that you get when he's on stage. Like, when I was at the first show, before I was in the band, he was, like, so fucking nervous. Like, grown-ass man, like, about to piss his pants. Dude, and I'm like, dude. And I did one of these, like Lifetime family movie moments where I put my hand on his face. I was like, you got this. And then I did the forehead to forehead. Like, you got this. And he gets up there. Says we are in Malum in the middle of this breakdown. They start going and it just clicks. You just see him go
synchronized headbanging,
cheese-eating grin, and then just circle headbanging and everything. So it's fun seeing that because I've been doing live music for so long that like getting on stage isn't anything to me. So as far as having buzz behind it, it's really cool and really humbling that people like know who we are. Mm-hmm. Like. Because I still have people bring up, like, Lemons and shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you were the drummer for Life, Give Us Lemons. I'm like, why do you know that? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and I was a Lemons super fan. Yeah, I was like, my brother and best friends are in it, you know? Fuck yeah.
So it's super cool hearing that people like our stuff, man. Like, that's awesome. If I can take any part of the time you have on this earth and you're listening to my shit...
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking cool, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's something, like, next level cool about that. So.
Lemons was super dirty. And, you know what I mean? And then
we were all drunk.
Yeah.
I wasn't in it, but I was there.
That was a party band.
That was a party band, man. Like, our whole thing
band
was
choices.
If we... Yeah. That was a dark... Okay, to peel the curtain back a little bit.
Shorty couldn't stop getting drunk and getting naked.
That was like, a dark time for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
That was a real dark time for everyone.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is Lemons was like our outlet. Mm. But at the same time, it was also our party...
Yeah.
And it was also our band. So, our whole thing was if we practice shit-faced, we can play shit-faced.
Yeah.
And we could.
Logical shit I've heard.
Everyone can testify.
Here's a fun little tidbit. All right, so I was at Lemons practice a lot.
Yeah.
And fucking Shorty was blackout drunk, like laying on the floor in front of his amp in his underwear like he did. You know,
yeah.
His Superman underwear.
This was at practice too.
Yeah. This was just short.
This is practice.
He's like, no, this is how I practice. So
yeah.
He and Felicia used to be my roommates. Don't forget.
So they're like, all right, we gotta run through the set one more time. So they pick Shorty up off the floor, and they stand him up and put his guitar on him, and then they play the set perfectly.
Yeah,
and he just
I do
nails
a four
it.
Count. He can barely stand up. I do a four count. His drunk ass puts his foot on my bass drum. And then just eyes closed the whole time, like pubes hanging out of the, like tighty whities just all rocking it out. Like, and he's just tearing it up. Set gets done, sets his guitar on the stand, lays back down on the floor and passes out. Plays the set perfect, though. Yeah. No
fucking
fuck ups
rock
ever.
And roll, man.
Yeah, dude.
One of my favorite things about In Malum, though, honestly, like, I've been on the sidelines for years, and I feel like... The whole foundation being based in friendship, like, it sounds cheesy, but, like, dude, it's amazing. Like, you guys are all so fucking talented, and, like, even back in the Lemons days, just, like, watching that, you know, you and I were, like, fucking number one super fans all the time. He and I have known each other since we were 15 years old, you know.
Nice.
Yeah,
me, him, and Derek, we were all best friends, and, you know, I met Pat, 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lemons Days. Yeah. And then we used to be in a band.
Yeah.
With Derek called
Aeon of Truth.
Yeah. With a couple other people.
It was fun.
It was definitely fun.
It was definitely fun.
It was during a transition. It was like the dark period and then like the transition, and then we all kind of parted ways and adulted for a while, got our shit together, and
So in Malum is kind of like now. Where everyone's kind of got their shit together. So me and Derek played in Lemons together. Obviously, we've been jamming together for years, and he asked me to join the band originally, and I was super busy with Paper Thin and other stuff like that, and I really didn't want to take on more than one project. And then like months later, I'm like in my shower, like just humming along that single they put out. I'm like, God damn, that's some good shit. You know? Like, damn, I really wish I would have played on that, you know? And then I keep seeing posts of him sitting behind the drums. And I'm like, yeah, our drummer's having issues. He's got a lot going on. And I'm like, I remember I called you. I was like, so,
No, I came to your house.
And Yeah.
Our original drummer, Brandon, we called him Bridget, but, you know.
To differentiate.
You know. So, he told us that he was going to be stepping down because he was going to be full-time college and everything. So, he's, well, you know, we're like, dude.
Hell yeah, do you.
Finish college, you know, do your thing.
Yeah.
And,
good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And he's working all the time, so, you know. He didn't want to be holding us back by not making it to practice. So he let us know, like, he's like, you got me until the end of summer. And this was, like, March.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we played our first show, like, he was like, all right, you know, I got till the end of the summer. And then, naturally, next time I seen him, you know, I was like, so we're looking for a drummer, bud. And he's like, that's funny. I was actually going to ask you guys.
If you were looking for a drummer.
He put his drum set out real quick. He's like, funny, I haven't had my drum set in a while. Hey, what a coincidence.
Naturally, he fits right in because he's been...
Me and Derek...
That's basically what happened.
When you play with someone for a long... You guys have played like instruments or anything like that? This guy.
I was in a rap metal band for a couple years.
What band?
We were called Crush Groove.
Okay.
Yes,
that's a sweet name. I like that.
I liked it too. I just stole it from the movie Crush Groove because I used to smoke a lot of weed working at a video store.
Yeah,
and solid. I would watch that movie every day.
Crush Groove was super awesome.
Like, why not?
They also had dancers at one point.
We did. Cool. We were much like Eye of the Destroyer. They kind of ripped us off. Yeah. They kind of ripped me off.
Since you've been in a band, you know that there's like this link. That once you've been playing with someone for so long, there's like this link where you can just kind of know what they're going to do before they do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like you're just jamming and you know he's going to make a hard stop and you both stop.
Oh, man, yeah.
At the exact same time, and then you start up at the exact same time. There's this little kitty giggly moment between you two.
Right.
We just pulled that off, and we don't even know what we're doing. You know, like it just makes you feel like a man's man when it's happening, you know?
It's like, we're fucking hetero soulmates, bro!
Bro, though! You know, so there was that going into it, but after Lemons, the whole reason I didn't start in the band is because after Lemons, I kind of went through different reforming of my life, trying to figure things out, and I didn't think that I was up to snuff on drums. So I only played single pedal for a long time. Like, I disconnected my double pedal, I went and played in blues rock bands, and Dynamo Love, I played in that band for a long time, and played with Asphyxian, did a couple tours with them, all single pedal, just kind of getting my chops up, and then, they asked me to hook the good old double pedal back up, and, yeah.
Fun fact, you recorded the album only being in the band for 2 months as well.
Yeah, I've been to
fucking
like five
practices.
He
just shows up and just nails the album.
Where'd you guys record the album at?
Forfeit Audio in Willoughby with Matt Tarek and Jerome Silen. Yeah. They are wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Matt Tarek is so fucking skilled and so fast at what he's doing. And so goddamn funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I recorded drums for about 13 hours one day, and it just flew by.
Yeah.
Just having a blast. We got the drums actually
Nailed in one day.
One day. I came back in and I fixed two parts because it wasn't what the band wanted because everyone was out sleeping.
Right.
You know, because I'm in there just pulling a double shift, but whatever, you know.
I got off work that morning and just went up to the studio and passed out on the
passed
couch.
Passed out.
These motherfuckers are out there playing pool on my arms hanging off the fucking couch and they're using it to hang the triangle on.
So just a party in the off room.
And they're just fucking stacking shit on me.
Well, I'm learning drum parts in the studio, you know. No, kind of like that, but that's not really the part. I'm like, this? Nope. This? Nope. Like, oh, okay.
You did great, man.
Yeah, it was intimidating. It was definitely one of the coolest recording experiences I've had.
Hell yeah.
So they're go out to them, Forfeit Audio. They're cheap, but not cheap in what you get. Like good prices, good dudes,
affordable quality,
great sound, super nice guys.
So when did you come into the picture, Miss Ann?
Yeah, because you hit us up and I kind of felt like I was getting band mommed and shit.
I was definitely
like,
because
I didn't.
First.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know you were like in a band.
I'm band mom and beyond, I guess. I mean,
that's
I
a good title. I like that.
It sounds like a store. That
I'm like a band
moms and beyond.
That's that Bath and Beyond. How dare you?
You get like death metal doilies.
yeah.
Skulls
knitted and shit.
Yeah.
Dyed
right.
Black.
Yeah. In Malamur, stay tuned. Death metal doilies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've been singing for years. I've been in a bunch of different bands. I've mainly been like a blues jazz singer, but metal has always been very close to my heart. I mean,
been best
even
friends
since
with
a young
me
age.
For this
yeah,
song,
I mean, literally,
you know?
Derek and Brandon have been my best friends since we were 15, and I mean, they're just such good, solid dudes, and like, we all obviously bonded over music at a very young age, but I don't know, it kind of all came together recently. You know, it was The Level Beyond Human came out, and you know, I'm like at every show and listening to it and watching it over and over again, and I'm just like, I fucking love this song, like I want to sing on this so bad, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to impose or whatever, because I mean, these are my best friends and I respect them. I'm not gonna, like, you know, I don't know, it just kind of happened one day. And then Sean and I, when we first met, we sang together and we kind of locked eyes and we're like, holy shit,
you have one of those
there's
bro
something
moments?
Here yeah. We definitely had it, dude, fully, like when Sean and I sing together, there's something there. And so we had been, you know, tossing around ideas of like side projects and stuff, and then I had just kind of mentioned like, hey, do you ever want like some clean female shit on there?
Just letting you know, I got some motherfucking vocals.
I'll toss
vocals.
It down.
Vocals.
Yes.
We're like,
yes.
Bet. Next time. Next time we go on stage.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of happened. We got together. We put some vocals, like vocal harmonies together. Sean wrote the vocal harmonies for like the few parts that I'm on in that song. Mm. Next year, you will see a lot more of me at the live shows. You see me basically ever since August. That's basically when I became official scribe/scribe band admin slash vocalist.
Kind of managing behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
She
keeping
is
all of us in line.
Yeah, I'm the band wrangler.
Probably
who can
probably
also lay down
job.
Some angelic, you know, things.
Yeah, she keeps us on track. She writes things down. She
very organized.
Well. So
some may say OCD.
She's an essential cog in what is in Malum.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of always been that. I mean, even with Lemons, with Aeon, like it's kind of been building over the years. And it's like we all, I don't know. It feels so right.
So that makes a total of seven people in the band then?
Yep.
So,
currently
we have three guitarists. We have Sean on the 8-string. Anthony and Derek harmonize together on 6-strings. We have myself on drums. We have Brandon here on vocals. We have Ange on backup vocals. And Sean also does backup vocals. So we're at 6.
Okay.
We are currently looking for a bassist.
Yeah, you're a metal band. You don't need one.
Yeah, that's true. We got Sean.
Sean does get the low end.
Sean does get the low end. But we are looking for a bassist. We have our good friend Michael Cassess Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm saying it right.
I thought it was going to be your last name for a second. Yeah. I was like,
who old are you? Michael Cassess from Sterilizing the Deceased.
Ooh, Angelo Vespucci's band.
Yeah, dude.
Halo RX, my favorite fucking SoundCloud rapper of all time.
Vespucci.
So he's doing the two shows with us, and that dude is a motherfucking beast, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his tone is incredible. He can play Bleed by Meshuggah without a pick.
Just
saying that tells you everything you need to know.
That's the first thing he showed us when he came over.
I was just like,
dude, your bass tone gives me a boner. Like,
I mean, dude, if I could walk up and just play Bleed by Meshuggah on a kid, I'd show everyone.
Every day of
my life. Hey, Grandma, check this out. I know you don't care. You know,
I would do like the Paul Clark drum videos every day, just different angles. Be like, hey, here's me. Wednesday, this is me playing Bleed from this angle.
This is what it looks like from my Rack Tom perspective. just disgusting bassist. And something that another very humbling thing about being in this band is that dude. Seems like the dude who can play anything very fast, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of shitting his pants right now a little bit. Because he thought he could come in and just learn our stuff real easy and go on stage. And he's having a little bit of trouble on some parts. And
just get it right.
And it's kind of funny because if you can play Meshuggah Bleed and you easily...
Right.
To come play our music and struggle a little bit, kind of.
Well,
to be fair,
this is this hand. Ours is a lot of this hand.
Yeah, a lot of left hand.
There's a lot of technicality going on in the strings.
He's probably sat and listened to fucking Meshuggah for years.
Yeah, that's true too.
And you know what I mean? I mean, that shit becomes muscle memory at some point.
For sure,
he's doing a fucking great job.
Absolutely, I don't want to make it seem like it's going to be a shit show. He's got the thing down.
If we fuck up, you know who to blame.
No, the hired gun. Yeah,
no.
Also, we're more technical than Meshuggah. Just putting it out there.
Right.
He's been working with Derek for about 2 weeks now.
And he's got the whole set.
He's got...
Just nailed
just
down.
Just got about the whole set down.
Nailed down. And more... It's just so impressive to see him play. Like, I don't get super impressed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude just... I walked up, I shook his hand, I said, you're fucking stupid. shook his hand, you're dumb as fuck. And then I walk away. And he's like, thanks. And I'm like, Yeah, dude. Nasty.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. So he's going to be subbing in for us. So if y'all want to hit us up on the Facebooks and whatnot, or if you want to get at us somehow, if you want to try out for bass, let us know. We're looking for...
A full-timer.
We don't know. Mike might stay, might not stay. That is his decision. But for right now, we're still looking.
Tell you what, if he shows up to that next Sunday practice, you know.
We'll figure it out. But yeah.
He's fiercely dedicated. I'm impressed, and I respect him.
Yep. So that's going to be the lineup for the Saturday show. We're doing that EP release. And
Come buy one.
$10. $10 gets you something.
Zombie costume contest.
Yeah, zombie costume contest too.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, zombie. Oh, that's right. It is like Halloween time, right?
Yeah.
Like it is a thing.
It's October. Yeah.
Do you remember? You remember last year? I remember. what's Jared's band? What's Jared's old band? Etched in Pain.
Yeah.
They did. There was a show that it was the show that we helped promote with the podcast and such. They had this, Jared had this great idea to do a costume contest, and I was like, yeah, cool. And so he asked me, he's like, hey, Eagle, do you want to judge it? And I was like, a costume contest? Sure.
Oh, yeah,
and so there's a good amount of people there that got really, really cool fucking costumes, but the night's like going on, and just the timing of when they wanted to do this costume thing, I had nothing to do with it. It was like on my way there, he's like, can you do this? And I was like, yeah, sure. I was like, just tell me what to do. Jared doesn't tell me at all what to do. And he keeps coming up to me throughout the night because he's now focused. Jared's like in focused band day.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, man, I just got to nail my parts. I just
game
gotta,
time.
I got my shit to worry about. Eagle, this is yours. I'm like, I have nothing to fucking do with this costume contest whatsoever. And so like their band plays and he's like, hey, we're about to do the costume contest. How's this going down? And I'm like, I don't fucking know at all. And so he has me go up on stage while like his band's tearing down and Hate Theory is about to go up. And he goes, just fucking give it to somebody. It doesn't fucking matter. So I'm standing on stage by myself. And like, I just announced, like, I guess it's costume contest time. Everybody's going outside to smoke cigarettes and stuff.
Yeah.
Some people start walking up. He goes, just fucking give it to somebody. And I just look over at Tucker, who had the John Wayne Gacy
outfit.
Yeah, and I was like, Tucker wins, and I just see the disappointment in like four people's faces. Like, they're like, what the
fuck?
Okay,
but to be fair, he did have the best fucking costume.
He did have the best costume. Yeah, like, he would have won. He would have won. But like
if
it was,
he stood them all up on the stage, he would have won. Yeah.
And so, like, while we're on stage, like, Jared's just like, fucking do whatever. Like, right in my ear. And I'm like, it was one of the most terrifying experiences that I ever had because I disappointed, like, these four or five people. And so I really, really hope that your guys' zombie costume contest goes off way better.
Okay, but those four or five other people should have had better outfits.
They should have had better outfits.
Not only that, he dressed up like Gacy the Clown, right? So Pogo the Clown he dresses up like, which also, it's kind of like a double whammy because if you're a metal fan.
It's the cover of the Acid Bath when the Kaiser Pops album. So, and
he wins.
He won.
The other four or five people can eat it.
But the girl that dressed up like Pennywise, like, she put in fucking work. And you could tell that all she wanted to do was just get up on that stage and be like, check out this fucking banger thing. And so while I'm like, I guess we're about to do a costume contest. How's this going? He goes, I don't fucking care. Just fucking... Like, he was, like, mad at me. Like, Jared was, like, legit just came across pissed at me on stage in front of people. Just like, it's your fault. I was like, the rest of the night, I couldn't even enjoy Hate Theory. I was just like, man, I fucking ruined the whole night. I felt embarrassed. It was like this weird
embarrassing. It was his fucking costume contest. It was his idea.
He didn't let it become his. He was like, I got to focus on not tearing shit down because I'm a singer.
Bro, look, I gotta carry my microphone. I gotta work on my arms before
I gotta get my fucking shoulders looking right before I come to the fucking show, dude.
When I hold the microphone like up like this, like a metal dude, my fucking arm's not gonna look fucking symmetrically proportionate to the other arm.
And I gotta have muscle arms so I can hold the camera so I can take pictures of my hot blonde girlfriend.
Check out my chick. Did you know I have one? She's smoking hot.
Jared, I love you. You know this, right? don't tell Jared that we did the show. Just don't tell him we did the show.
You don't have to.
Don't tell him we did the show.
He's not going to snap your arms off your fucking body.
He's not. He loves me. He loves me.
No, man.
We're tight. But he did make me feel like a total fucking fool. You know what band I missed was Casket Maker.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Casket Maker.
Why didn't you guys tell me that I missed Casket Maker?
Oh, we got him.
Now I look stupid again.
Yeah, it's fine.
Come on, it's just so okay, but if
you we were still promoting the show. We're not done yet.
But if you keep looking stupid, it'll just be it'll be like, it's normal.
Okay.
See, now
nobody is editing Casket Maker. I want to say, who did the commercial? There's a commercial that's going on for this show. Have you seen the commercial?
No.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
Man, where is this fucking commercial?
The MHIO.
MHIO Radio fucking show.
No, it's the Spookin' Slam.
It's the Spookin' Slam. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Spookin' Slam.
2019.
With Casket Maker. I like how he says in Malum, too. He's like, in Malum.
Yeah.
Me, I wouldn't be able to do it. If I did a commercial, it would be like,
hey guys, we got a show, Keeping It 99 with In Malum. We also got Eye of the Destroyer with butts on stage.
Like, it would not be cool at all.
Come see some butts.
Wonk, wonk. You know, in the background with the little horns, tricycle sound. Yeah, like it's a birthday party. Like an actual birthday party.
And Fozzie
Yeah.
Apparently. I'm for it.
The Behest of Serpents. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Let me open my dictionary. Wait, you said it's on the MHIO radio?
Yeah.
Industries MHIORadio.com celebrates their first year of radio with the Spook and Slam Shindig.
Congrats on the one year.
With Eye of the Destroyer. featuring onstage twerkers, preceded by opening acts such as Casket Maker. Debut of Animortem.
Animortem. Very pronunciated.
The Behest of Serpents. Cyclo Sarin. The Apocalyptic Fist of the Black Death.
Fucking V.
Also including a zombie costume contest. Prizes at the end of the show. All going down Saturday, October 12th at the Outpost Concert Club, 4962 State Route 43 in Kent, Ohio. Doors at 5, bands at 6 p.m. $10 advance, $13 at the door. Tickets available at eventbrite.com now. 18 and over only.
Only!
It's because of the butts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be because of the butts.
Yeah.
It's got to be the man. They are so much more professional than us because, like, they do a lot for local bands. Like, yeah, they interview a lot of bands. You know, we do it in a different format, obviously.
Right.
And, but they have like all these shows all the time where like Spook and Slam and me. I'm like, I'm putting on a pizza party, a free pizza party at a dive bar in Akron.
Watch a band.
I'm gonna do a commercial for it. Be like featuring Wall Creeper.
Boost.
Yes. and cheap eat, I guess. Yeah, I'm playing. I can't do like cool shows like that. So props to MHIO, man. That's got to be exciting to do that and to be able to have you guys' EP release. I have heard one song. I've heard The Level Beyond Human. I've saw that you guys have a video,
the lyric video.
Yeah. Which I was like, super impressed with. Like, yeah.
Kevin Zarnicki.
Yeah.
He did a really good job
with
it.
Sweet, man. Who is that?
Kevin Zarnicki, Bizarre Concepts.
Okay. Yeah. You find him on Facebook, I take it?
Actually, I do believe Matt Tarek recommended him.
Yeah. He's amazingly synced up.
Yeah.
You respect. Can find him on Facebook, I'm pretty sure. It's
he's on Facebook.
B-C-Z-A-R.
That
right?
Video's yeah. Be yeah, B-C-Z-A-R
Concepts.
Yeah, I was at work last night after work. I played the video. I was just outside. We were having our little after close break, you know, third shift shit.
Right.
And I put on the video just so I could just, like get another sense. I was just like, oh, and I was going to tell my dude, like, this is a band that I'm going to be interviewing some of the cats in tomorrow. And while it was on, he was just like, dude, that's fucking badass. And I was like, yes, good. Good. I'm glad you don't think that it sucks or anything like that.
We are too.
Yeah,
we're super. Yeah.
We didn't have to tell him. We're like, hey, this guy in an alley last night said your fucking shit sucked.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he said it. Blah.
But yeah, the quality on it, man, everything about it is really good. Yeah. Really, really solid.
Yeah. Yeah, first time I said, he said you were doing a lyric video. I'm like, oh. Like, lyric video, and you're like, no, dude, it's legit, you know. I'm like, all right, dude, let's what, you know, because I'm used to lyric videos of, like, the dude that just loves 3 Days Grace. He's right. Gotta, like, you know, they just pop up like PowerPoint style with the right, swirl, right. Yeah. You know, they just like right in front, you know. Like, I'm so sad my girlfriend broke up with me, and then it fades away. Fuck that bitch. You know what I mean? So, like, when he's like, lyric video, dude, it's gonna be sweet. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, why don't we just do, like, a live playthrough vid? Like, that's way cooler. And then I saw the video, I'm like, oh, this is fucking dope, you know?
Yeah.
It's got, like, the moving background. Looks like you're all, like, staring into the stars and shit. Like, it's sweet. It turned out really, really nice.
You guys know the story behind The Level Beyond Human?
Mm.
And
it's a fun story, yeah.
So, and you know, this even ties in with our debut show
as
well.
Yeah, March 23rd.
So, The Level Beyond Human is actually about the Heaven's Gate cult. They were.
Oh, yeah, the Adidas shoes.
Yeah.
Track suits and all.
Yeah, comics coming.
Yep. Like fucking Jackson.
Yep. Jackson.
So,
yep.
So they're that's what the song's told from the cult leader's perspective.
Yeah.
Like that's how the lyrics are wrote for that song.
Do you talk about like clipping nuts off?
No.
But there's a line
vague.
There's a line, you know, cuz they put plastic bags around their heads.
Yeah.
And you know, over and drank themselves with barbiturates and that's how they died, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But there's right after the solo, Anthony solo, there's the line is pack your bags, next stop's in space.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's, Derek wrote that.
Yeah, there is no death in my teachings. Have no fear, there is no death in my teachings. Yep. Yeah.
And so, when we booked our first show for March 23rd, we didn't even know this, because they were doing Into the Abyss, which is also tied into it.
Right.
Which, that one's a follower's perspective after their death.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's like the way the lyrics are on that one.
Yeah.
So we were talking about like the lyrics for it. So we, you know, we brought it up and we're doing research. Turned out that the anniversary, our debut was the 22nd anniversary of their suicide.
Wow.
March 22nd and 23rd.
And you had no clue.
We had no idea. Like, coincidental. Yeah. Had no idea. Like, and that shit just like one of the universal things that just like blew our minds. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
that cult leader, like if you looked at that, like any look at that dude. Marshall, if you looked at that dude, you wouldn't be like, I'm gonna follow this dude anywhere he tells me.
This dude has the right idea.
Yeah. I'll tell you about a kingdom level beyond here, and if you want to go there, then you have to follow me because I'm the guy who's got the key at the moment.
No, I
want
to follow this guy.
He wanted to kill everything.
Dude, fuck that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the only way, like in End of the Abyss, you can really even tell the link. There's only one direct reference. So the cult leader, Marshall Applewhite, he went by a couple names. One of them was Doe. Like, before the Heaven's Gate started, it was...
What up, Doe?
It was Doe and T, which was his lady.
Yeah.
She went by T, he was Doe. So, after the beginning of Into the Abyss starts up, there's a line, the words of Doe echo in my mind. And, like, that's how all that's tied in, you know?
Echoed in my mind, too. Like the fucking moment he was like, okay, we're going to castrate ourselves now because that's what we need to do to get on the spaceship. Crazy. It's fucking coming.
They don't allow testicles on the spaceship, John. Here's your rubber band. Wrap it 6 times and it will be less painful.
Oh, God.
Fuck you. Marshall flipping nuts.
Oh, that's like watermelon challenges.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's terrible. We still have some tickets left for the bundle deal we're running.
Tell us about the bundle deal.
We're doing, if you buy a ticket to Thursday and Saturday, you'll get a free CD and a free shirt.
That's the fucking move.
Yeah,
that's the fucking coolest.
A $50 value for $25.
That's the move.
Bam.
50%.
Two nights of face melting.
Yeah, and they're both going to be awesome shows.
Both shows are stacked as fuck. And,
yeah, they are.
Both at the Outpost.
One has butts.
One has butts.
I heard.
And if you're lucky, if you really want, you can ask Patter Brandon for butts on Thursday.
I mean, we didn't say whose butts.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
I'll show my sweet triangle ass for some sweet cash. Yeah.
The number's right.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So yeah, for tickets, shirts, CDs, find him Malum on Facebook. You guys are on Facebook.
Yep.
Do you guys do the Insta or the Twitters or anything like that?
Not
really. We're gonna be getting all that stuff up. Right now we're pretty much on Facebook. So hit us up on there.
You would be a Twitter guy.
I'm not any social media. If I wasn't in a band, he's an Xbox guy. Yeah, I'm an Xbox guy.
No, you're sure it's not brand recognition, Grant?
I feel like he'd be like, I got something.
He's fuck all that. I'm gonna play some video games.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, I wouldn't be on Facebook.
That's why me and him are really good friends. We actually just played Borderlands for like fucking 13 hours straight.
How the fuck is it?
It's good.
I have to wait till Christmas. That's a game. I have a 14-year-old son. We played the Borderlands 2. I have to wait till fucking Christmas, bro.
Listening.
He doesn't listen to my shit. Like he gives a.
You don't know.
He's 14. Like he gives a fuck what his dad's doing.
Who cares?
My dad's in a podcast.
He thinks he's cool.
He fucking grounds me when I get an F in his bullshit. He's over there podcast bullshit.
And another thing,
these are our last two shows
for the year.
So if you want to see us, This is the last two shows of 2019.
Probably the next 6 months.
Yeah, because what we're doing, we're releasing the album, and we are
writing
another album, restructuring some shit, trying to find a bassist, and we're going to come back harder and stronger. Louder and brighter, and we're going to have all kinds of shit.
We got big things.
Nobody wants to fucking play out in wintertime anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, that's hibernate time.
You're gonna be busy as fuck.
I'm an insurance agent, so at that time of the year, it's like
health
I'm
insurance.
Open enrollment.
Yeah. 64 hours a day. I mean, 64 hours a week.
Sometimes it feels like it.
Sometimes 80 hours a week. So I just don't have time for that shit.
Right. Oh yeah. No. Fuck that.
Plus, I gotta stack cash to buy gear. So we're doing that, and we're going to come out with a new stage show. Like, we're going to have all new songs, and I think by then we're probably going to try to push more outside of where we've been playing. We're going to be doing some out-of-state shows.
We're going
to try to start hitting it hard because, obviously, people enjoy it.
And it's quality shit.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed what I've heard so far, and I'm a stickler for shit. Like, there's so many bands. Like, there's so many good bands around Northeast Ohio that it's insane, but, like, there's also some other ones that aren't. And right. you guys definitely fall into something that Grant and I can both fucking appreciate. And
well, we appreciate that, man. That's awesome. It's always great to know that people enjoy the shit, and that's why we're trying to put best foot forward, trying to have all the bells and whistles tied onto it, full quality sound and look and everything. That way we can build a brand.
Yeah. So you can spend the rest of the year with the Descent into Madness.
Yep.
Yeah.
EP. Are you guys going to be releasing it digitally as well?
Yes.
Is it going to be?
It'll be distributed after the. We're thinking either the day of or maybe like a week after. That way we can.
Push
the CD so you can be on Facebook like, look, bitches, I got one. You can't listen to it yet. You know, that kind
of
thing.
Right. And you get one of the first 300.
Yeah, get one of the first 300.
Limited
edition. Cover. This is Sparta Run. And, it'll be out on, like, all the other streaming platforms. We have it all, Spotify, iTunes, Napster. We got it all hooked up. We just have to flip a switch. So
Napster's still a thing.
I have Napster on my phone.
That cat is still at it.
Yeah, yeah. So Rhapsody. Everybody knows what Rhapsody was, right? Back in the day, it was one of the Napster first like Spotify. It was the OG Spotify. So works exactly the same way as Spotify. You can download your albums. You can stream stuff. Just now, it got bought out by Napster, and Napster's using their name, and you do have to pay for it, so it's not free.
Huh.
So they're legitimate now. But yes, Napster pays the most. To bands for streaming, I apparently.
Thanks, Lars Ulrich.
Yeah.
No!
That's right.
No. I'm not thanking him for shit.
Fuck that guy. Yeah. So you're on the I Hate Lars bandwagon too, Grant?
No!
I'll
take that as a yes.
Look, though, they can't use the excuse of, like, we're too old to keep playing the cool stuff. Like, no, that's a lie, because Slayer has been exactly the fucking same the entire fucking time they've been Slayer, and the only reason you guys are pussies is because fucking Lars Ulrich.
I got two words for the argument of you can't continue to play the same thing over and over again and it'd still be good.
Yeah.
Those two words are Iron Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Maiden's been making good music the whole time.
The whole fucking time.
And they sound exactly the fucking same as when they started.
My appreciation for Lars Ulrich is kind of a personal one, though. I'm friends with the singer of a band called Beatallica, which do Beatles meshed with Metallica-style songs.
That's awesome.
The Masterful Mystery Tour is waiting to pull all your strings. Twist your mind and smash all your dreams.
They're actually like a thing.
I saw them like a year ago open up for Oakley Dokley down in Canton when they were on tour. Fucking, and he gave awesome. Me a shout out on stage. He even thanks me in one of their albums. But I'm friends with this band. They got sued by the Beatles. The people that represent the Beatles,
really?
Like at Sony, they got sued, and Lars Ulrich gave them his lawyers. to fucking fight that, so Metallica could still go out and do their thing. And so, steps away from being like best friends with Lars Ulrich, and then I can tell him, be like, dude, your drumming sucks so bad. Remember when Lombardo fucking played drums for Metallica that one set and just fucking killed you? Made you look like such a bitch.
Do you remember?
But until then, I like him.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, sorry.
So that's whatever. Whatever.
I haven't thanked him personally yet.
I don't know him, and I don't have to hang out with him, so fuck him. I don't care.
Well, thank you guys so much for doing this with us. I hope the shows go over fucking very well. I'm sure they will. I'm sure there will be more bzzz.
It was good seeing you guys. I don't ever get to see anybody anymore.
It was nice meeting you. Yeah, I feel like I have new friends.
Yeah, I have new friends.
Oh, it's
awesome. Never often enough. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, until the next time. There will be a next time, Grant? Is there going to be a next time? Are we going to do it? This isn't the last podcast ever.
It's never the last one. You just don't know when the next one's coming.
You don't know when it's coming. My name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
Ange Snyder.
Brandon Bailey.
Patrick D. LaGrange.
Bye.
Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.